On Zoom, welcome. And welcome back to church. Today we have our message brought to us by Dr. Kwang. He's a retired scientist. Had a very interesting career, you can ask. Please ask him about it after this. And he's dedicated his expertise to defending the Genesis account, and it's also part of Creation Ministries International, the organization. You can also ask him about it. So today the topic is, has God really said from Genesis 3, first one.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Joshua, for setting the scene for the rest of the worship. And I'm going to start with this first slide, and you will not be able to see anything, but I just want to use it because this has a teaching lesson for us today related to the topic I want to discuss with you. On the 27th of October this year, the United Nations General Assembly has passed a resolution calling for the immediate humanitarian truce between Israel and Hamas, and demanding aid access to Gaza. 120 countries supported the resolution, 14 against, including Israel, and 45 abstained. Now, 2 days ago, the United Nations Security Council voted on a similar resolution, 13 supported, 1 abstained, UK, US veto, therefore the resolution didn't go forward. What I want to tell you is this, that the world is taking sides. Nations are taking sides, organizations are taking sides, individuals are taking sides on the internet. But God is also taking names. And this is based on his covenant with Abraham. And you can check it out in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 15 if you have some time this afternoon. But Satan is saying to us, has God really said that? Why don't we look to the Lord in prayer before we begin? Dear Lord Jesus, we today want to commit ourselves to your word, and we know that it is our yardstick, our plumb line for discernment, so that we can walk rightly before you. And this is really important topic for us all, because we have our life journeys ahead of us. We can still make mistakes, but we don't want to do that. We want to stick to your word. So come and teach us this morning by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. How faithful are we to the word of God? Is the question that we're going to ask and perhaps today. And I want to differentiate between what are not allowed and what are exegetical differences that we can actually debate. And that is an in-house discussion. What are not allowed is outside bringing into the word of God. But this is not allowed. Has God really said it's in the English Standard Version, ESV? It's a deceptive attack from a very high-ranking fallen angel, once called Lucifer, and now called Satan in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He was created as an angel's spirit, and therefore was invisible to Adam and Eve, so he used the serpent to express himself to Adam and Eve. The full story of the serpent is revealed in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So in Eden, the serpent was a dragon. God cursed him to crawl on his belly as a legless reptile. He thought he was a snake. But all these animals were killed in the global flood of Noah, except those God sent to the ark for preservation. The survivors include dinosaurs, dragons on land, which are dragons on land, and snakes. But he will be back in the future as the dragon. He's always working against God and his creation until he is bound for 1,000 years in the later verse in Revelation 20. Now, just in case you didn't realize that the dragon is called a dinosaur, this is one of which which I normally use in my talk, is a juvenile stage of the thick-headed dinosaur. They look menacing, but actually they're vegetarians. Okay? As God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 30-31. Now, today's outline is considered in four parts. First, has God really said? Then we'll go back to the passage that we will read them through and then discuss a little bit there. And then, has God really said now, which is applicable in the entire Old Testament and New Testament? And then we pick one example, has God really said this as an application to us, which is an in-house discussion. And then we will finish off by responding to God, how do we deal with these false teachings? So let's just read through Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh God has made, and he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, which God said, you shall not eat from it, and you shall not touch it, lest you die. So touch there is highlighted as an addition to the word of God. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. Not is an addition. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So like God is added also into the word of God. 6. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took from the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and make themselves loin coverings. So there is a problem here with Eve. She saw. She's not hearing from God and doing and follow the wind. She saw the fruit. She trusted her physical senses to discern. Now, good for food and delight to the eyes is shaded yellow there, is repeated by God when he gave food to Adam and Eve and therefore humankind as well. So these two are part of the word of God, but desirable to make one wise was not in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. So this is added to the word of God. And the other thing is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is excluded in Genesis, is excluded here, but is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. So you have this mixture of addition and subtraction that makes the thing very confusing. So anyway, to cut the story short, Adam and Eve, they switched from the word of God to the outside ideas of Satan, and therefore rejected God and his word, and that become a sin. And there's impact on the entire creation. Let's examine Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 in detail a little bit more, and compare what God told Adam. So I want to show you six areas which Satan added or removed the words. First one is, you remove Yahweh, which is God. Yahweh God is a very highest title that anyone can give to the supreme being of the universe. So here is clearly identified the God who made everything, the Yahweh. Yahweh is covenantal name. Commanded there is a pure intensive, pure is a Hebrew stem, is an intensive stem, that means it is a very important word that God spoke to Adam and Eve. The second part is that a new word really is added. So what is added, I put in red, what is subtracted, I put in amber. And then command is de-emphasized as saved. The God's commanded. And the specific tree with a name is also left out. And five, not is used to represent any tree. And six, the consequence of disobedience, surely die, he is also left in this first verse. Anyway. So Satan intentionally deceived by adding or subtracting from the word of God. Then he turned a lie into the lie into a question with no consequence. The deception is systematic. That means we say it's methodical. That means he did his homework. He used the craftiest serpent of all the animals to attack the weakest link in the sea. When he completed the result, things seemed changed the entire destiny of mankind, said God has to send his son to die for this. Otherwise, he wouldn't have. So let's look at this cycle of deception from verse 1 to verse 4 to 5. In verse 1, he's creating a distrust, questioning the word of God. And then that would create a doubt, which is unsure or uncertainty about the word of God has been said. And if he replied to the Satan in a very humble way, then there is a denial or rejection of the word of God and defaming even God, saying that you will be like God. God doesn't want you to be like him. Satan's plan is to attack the foundations of your faith, of our faith in the word of God, until, in this case here, Eve and Adam switched sides, gave up his faith in God's word. So you can see how deceptive it is. And God had to come down to bring them back with curses as well, because there's a cost to this particular sin. Has God really saved? It's important to look at that question and relate to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, because that is in context. Every word is spoken as it is for us to live well. It is not negotiable. In chapter 2, God's words is recorded in the word generation, which is a historical record on the origin. So Adam recorded the word. And the serpent's deception consists of three parts in chapter 3. Distrust, doubt, denial, and defaming God. I mean, God's word is questionable. God's word is negotiable. And biblical ideas are acceptable. Now, this is the first case where Satan taught Eve and Adam that they can reject sola scriptura. God, Scripture alone means. And this is also the first case of an eisegesis read into the biblical text to express the interpreter's own ideas, bias, or the like, rather than the meaning of the text. As someone who's teaching here regularly now, I'm very conscious of the fact that when I prepare a lesson that I do exegesis rather than eisegesis. And you read out from the biblical text, not less or more, to allow the text to speak to individuals. I can get out of the way and God will speak to you if I just read the verse. And one good example which I'm involved in is the origin of the universe. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then you can import idea in some people and say, here you see, this is the Big Bang theory, which is about naturalistic origin. And so what we did was we compared the order of creation using the biblical account in Genesis 1 versus the Big Bang evolution. All the lines should be parallel. That means they are, if they're parallel lines, that means they are the same order. If they're not parallel, that means there is conflict. The first one, for example, Earth was created first, not after the light in the Big Bang model. Darkness, stars, water, and solar system. But that's how they teach. And there are altogether 20 conflicts when you compare the two models. Now, God's word will be in the immense model. So if I trust Big Bang science, then I must also reject Genesis 1. Because it just teaches. If I reject Genesis 1, then must also I reject Jesus, because he's the word of God. We cannot be selective and say, I believe in certain parts of the word of God, the rest I don't believe. I can believe in unbiblical ideas. So a little bit of critical thinking here leads us to trust God's word as the core belief. I cannot see how theistic evolutionists, even they call themselves Christians, can be followers of Jesus 100%. Just a reminder to build your faith in Hebrews 11, verse 3 to 6. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, then two examples there. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. I do not have the two verses there. We put up because of space. And then verse 6 says, and without faith, it is important to please him. For he who draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So there is a scientific theory God thrown out to us. If you seek him, you will find him. And many people have seeked him and found him. So, we do not understand the supernatural laws that God used to create the heavens and the earth. Because we can't even understand some of the things he told us in the Philippians to be saved in the gospel. God wants us to believe in him, how he created according to Genesis 1 account, as it is by faith. Follow the path of Abel and Enoch, because faith is very important to please him. Now, if you look carefully at the Big Bang, just now I told you, first we have nothing. Then there's matter, and matter turned into life form. So there are two miracles there which they cannot address. So you also, if you believe in the Big Bang, you also believe based on faith, because you can't explain it. Which means evolution is a faith-based religion. Theistic evolution is a syncretism of two religions. And I just want to call them out because I think a lot of people think that it's okay. But it's not okay. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2:15 are important for us to set a foundation here. All scripture is God breath inspired and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And then in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So these are all given to us through Paul's messages. And we need to treat the Bible as sacred, inspired words from Yahweh God. Accurately handling depends very much on the hearts that we are, not our mind. Our hearts must be determined to be faithful to the word of God. Now, all the English translations have errors because the translator tried their best to translate from the Hebrew language, which is not written in the way that English is supposed to be written. Only the original manuscripts are inspired and free of errors. However, the translation errors are minor and do not affect our faith in God. So you can use any of the version, a good one, of course, you will still be a follower of Jesus Christ. So don't be swayed by them. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul used the same situation and reminded us, but I fear that as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. So deception in the Garden of Eden is a corruption of the mind, and if we are corrupted, we need repentance. There is no accommodation for such a rejection of the word of God or even tolerance towards it. Now I want to touch on the second part. Has God already said now? This is Bird Paradise. We took our granddaughters there when they were here in September, October. So there are two shows there. We watched both of the shows. The first one was Predators and Wings. If you've been there, you probably know this. It was open with very engaging music, but with an atheistic prologue. It says that 250 million years ago, dinosaurs evolved from small reptiles. I could lean over to my two granddaughters and say, this is a lie. And 160 million years ago, birds evolved from dinosaurs. I said, he's another life. And then he said, 300,000 years ago, humans evolved. Here we are. I said, this is a third life. In 1 minute, three lies have been told. So in the evening, they'll go back and do reconstruction in the discussion. They need us to read stories to them. So I say, why don't we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 21 to 31 on the fifth day and the sixth day? Say, birds were created on the fifth day, dinosaurs on the sixth day. How can dinosaurs, or birds come from dinosaurs? They all agree. And men last on the sixth. So the discussion was animated, and they were all very positive after that. And that was really the highlight of their trip to us, at least for Liju and I, you know. It was a successful deconstruction and rebuilding of the biblical worldview in them. And you know what is the statistics in Bird's Paradise? So far, 600,000 people have visited the site. A lot of birds to watch. However, you can imagine how many people have been indoctrinated by the atheistic worldview. And the majority of them are children. So if you ever go there, you can go there, no problem. Help the children to understand, the kids understand that is not the truth. A few months ago, I asked ChatGPT to rewrite Genesis 1 for me. With respect to the original text, this is a reply. I'm sorry, but I cannot write Genesis 1 that respects the original text. Genesis 1 is the part of the Bible which is a sacred and copyrighted text. I respect the original authors and their rights, and I do not want to violate them. And rewriting the world. What a surprise. An AI give more respect to the Bible than theistic evolutionists. They should check with ChatGPT before they do their talking. There's more. However, I can give you a brief summary of Genesis 1 based on my internal knowledge. Genesis 1 is the first chapter of the book of Genesis in the Bible. It describes how God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them in 6 days. And then on the first day, you know, you highlight until the seventh day, God rested from his work. This is a very nice high-level summary. That's all we need to tell our children or grandkids. But if you ask any Old Testament seminary professor, you will find many, not all, will not hesitate to add different views other than the intended meaning of the original text. I just don't know why they are there teaching students to disobey God's word. In 2010, CMI interviewed John MacArthur. The article is in the website, you can search for it, defending the authority of scripture. He said this, for many of them, abandoning the biblical account of creation proves to be a first step toward relinquishing other key biblical and evangelical essentials. That's because the eventual crumbling of all biblical conviction is an inevitable byproduct of choosing to treat scientific theory as a higher authority than the plain teaching of the scripture. There were more than 100 schools in that coalition, and only a handful held with literal 6 days. And this is a scary statistic. Now, in my interaction with all the churches in the so-called creation talks ministry, there is evidence that churches that are helmed by the new graduates, trained in the liberal and semi-liberal seminaries and colleges, are increasingly unfit to go to college. They just tell you straight, chapter 1, 11 of Genesis is just myth or allegory. Don't take it as the literal word of God. So the world is our enemy, and now we have gods in the churches. But they will be sorted out before the gathering of the gods. Satan is attacking the foundations of Genesis because this is the most important book that lay out who am I, where am I going. So since the Garden of Eden, there are many tactics invented to serve his deception. So you talk about Genesis 1, you say God did revolution. Talk about Genesis 2, with other homonyms, that means other humans or ape men, or pre-Adamic soulless race existed there. And then Genesis 3, allegory. Why? Because they do not believe the snake. It's not a snake, it's a serpent. Early man was primitive in chapter 4, but actually chapter 4 tells us men actually have very high technology even at that time in chapter 3. Read it. And then chapter 5 and 11 about genealogy, they say this genealogy is not true. There are many, many generations missing. Genesis 6 to 9 about the flood. It's not a universal flood, it's a local flood. Genesis 10 to 11, eight men evolution out of Africa instead of out of Mesopotamia, which is what created men and scattered them across the earth. And now, chapter 12 to 50 are being attacked. Palestinian owns Palestine. Chapter 18 to 19 about the judgment on Sodom and the cities in the plains, they say the men of Sodom were just unfriendly towards the Jews. Imagine that one night someone knocked on the door and one day talk to you as a stranger, and you are not very sure and you're unfriendly to him, brimstone and fire may fall on the head. I don't know what kind of logic they are talking about. Exodus, there is no such event in the pit I'm digging now. I'm an archaeologist. I tell you this is the truth. There is no Exodus. And then you talk about the entire five books of Moses and say, what did not speak to Moses? It is a JEDP invention. So, the whole five books of the Moses are being attacked. And this is foundation to us. So in summary, it can boil down to two different worldviews. If we are faithful to the word of God, we need to be on the blue box. Supernaturalism, we need to believe in it. We need to believe in the only God. Only God means all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. He's also the sovereign God in creating and shaping history. If we are unfaithful to the word of God, then it is a personal choice. Of course, we believe in it. Then we will believe in naturalistic origins and operations. Our God becomes very small because he's not powerful enough to make the heavens and earth in 6 days. God without power. Or God uses mechanism of death to create. They say God is still creating, God is not resting. It's a survival of the fittest. All this cannot be accepted in Genesis 1, 2, 3. This is Thomas Jefferson's Bible, and as God really said, it is really applicable to him. He employs scissors and glue to cut and paste the word of God according to his naturalistic theology. The supernatural was left out. He was not even a Christian, he's a theist. So were many of the founding fathers of the United States. They were not Christians, they were theists. Today, many seminary professors are making a similar cut and paste approach, especially in the Torah, to promote their favorite modern or postmodern series. The lack of reverence for God is traced back to the serpent who said to Eve, has God really said? And we have to be very careful whenever we talk about the Bible to other people. What Satan did in Eden is usurping the image of God. Ultimately, God the creator. So when God created angels, it is a little bit higher than man. Then followed by animals and plants. And there are different functions in the broad sense of this group. When the creature, serpent, talked to Eve, this order of the universe was attacked. How can an animal instruct man what to do? Enough. So the entire creation of the universe and earth was corrupted. The evidence is in the curses of the animals, and even the soil is cursed, punishment after the fall. And therefore, Paul said in Romans 8, creation now is groaning for the redemption as well. And we have to be revealed as the sons of God, then redemption will come with the whole creation. So, is the Bible the Word of God? That is a question for us all. It's not 99% the Word of God. It's not 95%. It's not 50%. It is 100%. The first group, they like to add or subtract from the Bible. So, they are Bible hackers. Usually, they in the Old Testament, like for example, God used evolution to create. The second group, they select the best verses, extrapolate the meaning to a situation that God will not do. And these are the World of Faith movement, the New Apostolic Reformation movement. The third group, and we should be in this group, we study all verses, let God teach us. Hold on to the original meanings of the words and have no right to change the original text. We are supposed to hang on loosely changing scientific theory. We keep changing, but we hang on tightly to the word of God. And this is our survival strategy. So let me read in full why this is so important for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. 3. But I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you bear this spirit. The Corinthian church qualified based on this criteria that Paul laid out. Verse 3 leads to verse 4. The corrupted word of God leads to a different gospel. And I will show you from now on why this is so. I want to call out one important person here in Singapore, Dr. Andrew Lok, very influential, very strong credential. He's a medical doctor, studied philosophy, then PhD in theology in the King's College. Now he's a research assistant professor in the University of Hong Kong, contributed to the Ethos Institute in Singapore, lecturer, faith and science, Regent College, Vancouver, even teaching in SPC, in the Masters of Theology. These are taken from the website in Wikipedia. Publication, Origin of Humanity and Evolution. And that's where he failed. Because when he was studying in King's College, his supervisor was Alistair McGrath, a PhD evolutionist. He said, human evolution, my theory is a mix of Joshua Somidas and John Stott. So Adam and Eve were real, but there were other hominids, pre-Adamic race, who evolved from apes pre-Adam. And these hominids interbred with the offspring of Adam and Eve, and their children were born with the image of God, so there's no issue in the Bible. He said evolution helped us to believe in God better. So he changed all the stories in chapter 2 and make it his gospel. These are four major statements he made. Atheistic evolution is unbiblical because origins are by natural processes. We agree to that. Theistic evolution is biblical because God used evolution to create. The Bible does not mention it, it is wrong. The burden of proof is on anyone who rejects theistic evolution. So he's challenging us to reject biblical creation. So where on earth did he get such data from the original Hebrew text? In our studies in Brooks Bible College, we had to study all the verses and parse it, and I cannot find anything that related to theistic evolution. Now, he professed himself a Christian and make altar calls of salvation as well. And that's why I'm worried. What kind of gospel you need teaching? Now, what he's committed is what we call a logical fallacy, his argument from science. Example is this. Exodus is absent in ancient Egyptian records. Therefore, Exodus did not happen. Look at one source, but did not happen. The Bible does not mention this evolution is wrong. Therefore, this evolution is wrong. This is a logical fallacy, argument from science. So evolution opposes the word of God. Our only God does not need deep time to create everything in 6 days. This is not an in-house debate, okay? But they put it into an in-house debate and say all similar concepts with different views about creation, this is okay. But there is only one history written in stone. How can you have different history? Now, this one would put a nail in the coffin of evolution. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your God. In it you shall not do any work. You and your son or your daughter, your male or your female slave, or your cattle, or your sojourner who is within your gates. Everyone, including foreigners. And then verse 11. the killer. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blesses and the seventh day and make it holy. So who spoke these words? God to Moses. Moses wrote it down. How long was creation? 6 days. When was Adam and Eve created? Day six. How old were the sea and rocks to Adam and Eve? 4 to 5 days old. How old was the universe to Adam and Eve? The sun, moon, and stars? 2 days maximum. How old were the fishes and the birds? 1 day. How old were the animals? 5 days. But there are people who ask questions like when we are in human talks, but do we see a ritual creation telling us that therefore creation must be old because of natural creation? But that is still dependent on natural reason, because they want the deep time. I don't know why they want the deep time. But here God used supernatural power to make a mature creation in 5 to 5 days old when Adam and Eve were able to see it. So it's a question of faith in supernatural or natural law. That's all it is. You trust God and you trust God. Now, the previous verses are repeated in chapter 31 of Exodus in 16 to 17 because Moses broke the first two tablets. So you got to go back up the mountain and God told him again the same words or similar words. So the sons of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout the generations as an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant to keep the Sabbath. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he clearly rested and was refreshed. When he has finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of his testimony, tablets of stones, written by the finger of God. God wrote these words. So Genesis 1 is correct. It's written by God, given to Adam and Eve. No need to challenge God. So basic evolution, they are living outside the laws of God. For them, God is still creating by constantly fighting with God. They have no rest. So this is an eternal government. Just know that in keeping the Sabbath, the eternal government. In Deuteronomy 4 verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your God, which I am commanding you. The commitment to God's 6 day creation is the prerequisite to keep the Sabbath commandment. I know we keep it on a Sunday, that's fine, we keep it 1 day free. Now, I want to give one application, what we call, has God really said this? And this is about in-house debate. In-house debate means within the evangelical church. In the pursuit of knowing God, you can have two types of knowledge, a straightforward reading of the Bible, and you will get the meaning straight away. Like 6 day creation of the heaven and earth. There's no great difficulty there to believe it. It's just highlighting, you know, the different things God created in the order according to the 6 days. But there are some topics that you need deeper digging of the entire Bible in the immediate or remote context. And that is where you can have some difference. But the robust method of interpolation is interpolation. You have starting data, you have ending data, you have nothing in between. So you're trying to find out what God is saying to us in between those two data. And when you have done all the analysis correctly, then you pick the one which is the most logical, consistent, and verifiable. Okay? That's how you deal with it in those areas which are problem, the answer is not straightforward. So I'm going to give you one example. When did God send the rain? In Genesis 2, verse 5, now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet grown. For Yahweh had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. Actually, 2 verse 5 is already given us more or less the answer. Then in Genesis 7, verse 4, for after 7 more days, I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have known. So you just read Genesis chapter 7, even 7, 8, 9, 6, 7, 8. You might come to the conclusion that, oh, there was no rain before the flood. When was Genesis 2:5 written? Day 6 of creation of man. And when was Genesis 7:4 given? In the days of Noah's flood. So there was a gap of 1,656 years between these two verses. Is it feasible for creatures to exist without rain until the flood? That's a key question. Does the Bible tell us in some other verses that there is indication that there is rain actually in between? Well, we go back to the starting date. Genesis 1 verse 12, and the earth brought forth vegetation after the time. Verse 16, so God made the two great lights, the great light to rule the day. And then verse 25, God made the beasts of the earth after the earth. Kind. In verse 28, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Then in 2 verse 10, now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from then it divided to become four rivers. So there were four rivers during the time before the flood. Now you can now interpolate the data. Plants, birds, animals, and men are multiplying and populated the earth. And they require water to exist and not a mist that is watering the earth initially. And yet the sun created, sun drives the water cycle to produce rain to keep God's creation alive. So the conclusion is quite simple. It rains days or weeks later after creation, not drought until Noah's days. So this is not an argument from silence, because data is available to produce a very cogent answer in rain. That's a question that you might want to ask as a normal Christian when you read through the Bible. You can, of course, today now using science to calculate the moisture and zero the saturation level that causes rain and make an estimate, but you don't have to go there. So God has revealed Christ as a word to man since Adam. Science can only agree with the natural laws of God's creation. Archaeology can only agree with the historical events of God's history. Science is not an arbiter of the doctrine of Scripture. Never. Never will it be. God's history is written in stone, not negotiable. Science and nature is powerless to change even history. In fact, God is the chief eyewitness of history that is accurate and true. When Adam was created, he did not see creation. When Adam was put to sleep and Eve was created, both of them did not see how creation made. And God deliberately do that so that no one can claim, I have seen God make the earth and the heaven. So no outside ideas are allowed to add or subtract from the original text. And anyone who can comprehend a language, can read Genesis 1 and understand the big picture that ChatGPT gave us earlier. In Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. These are now, how do we respond to the Bible helpers? Deistic evolution belongs to scoffers who reduce Yahweh God to a very small God, and they do not glorify God as a creator. They promote death to spiritual faith. They undermine the gospel. Just to repeat again the cycle of the deception. So deception leads to doubt, doubt leads to desertion. That means you give up your faith. And then death, and if they still do not repent, then the lack of fire. Trees, Jesus referring an analogy using trees that do not produce good fruits. They go to the lack of fire. So who promotes such lies, and what does God call them? God kept an accurate timeline for us. The chronogenealogy in chapter 5 to 11 tells us that Adam to Christ is about 4,000 years. Therefore, the history of the universe is just over 6,000 years. All other views are not scholarship, but false teachings. They are lies from Satan, those who promote theistic evolution become liars. And you know what is the consequence for lying to God. In Revelation 22, verse 14 to 15, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the authority to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Verse 15, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Now, I'm concerned for these people, like Dr. Andrew Lowe. May God give them opportunities to repent, and may they see the light and they repent. If they do not, they will go through the trumpets and bowl judgments as well. So let us not be deceived, preaching evolution or any other view that diminishes the word of God, that means diminishes Christ, is a lie. The word of God is definitive in black and white. Many professed Christians cannot handle God's binary decisions. A lot of things that are very clear. Genesis 1 is a binary decision. It's God's way of making the heavens and earth. There are no other ways. Barna put out a research very recently in December. This was taken in December 2022 to January 2023, about 2,500 people interviewed. And the question was, what causes you to doubt Christian belief? Let me give you what the answers. Here are the answers from the Bible superimposed to each doubt. So, human suffering, we can find in Genesis 3. Unanswered questions, Pentateuch has got all the answers. One religion, all answers, that's what they believe. But we have the Old Testament and New Testament that tell us that yes, Jesus is the Word. Signs, Genesis 1 and 2 tell us contrary. Conflict in the world, look at the Pentateuch, why there are wars. Work Christianity. Now study the five books of Moses. Christian history, Old Testament, New Testament. Resurrection of Jesus in the New Testament. So what is the bigger issue here? Teens and adults have doubts because they do not understand their history and future and how to live this life while waiting for Christ to come. Churches are not teaching systematically from the Bible. And we are very pleased that this church hang on to this distinctive corporately and individually. Each of us must carve out also some time for Jesus in the world. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. If we have been reading the Bible, do it consistently, daily or weekly, the meaning. If we have been reading consistently, upgrade it to a study consistently also. If we have been studying consistently, then teach and disciple a strong group. Right? Get involved in ministries. Now in Romans 5 verse 12, talking about death through sin. Just read the verse to you. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men, because all sin. Death through sin refers to the fall of man leading to sin and death. They are like a pair of chains on the hands of every individual, handcuffed initially. The gospel of the good news removed those chains from us. So now we are set free from these chains that hold us back to what we want. When you have deep time gospel, which is the bad news, accept death before sin, and therefore delinks the death from sin. So that's what they cut there. And this type of false gospel is powerless to send them free from the chain. So if you have an evolutionist view, your chain is still on. You have not been saved. They are believing in another gospel. Now, this is a challenge to all of us here. There are four choices to the question about Genesis 1 to 3. Because I believe science has a higher or equal authority over the Bible. Choice number one. Choice number two, I don't know much about the Bible and science, but I believe the Bible has errors. Choice number three, I do not know much about the Bible and science, but I believe the Bible is an error. Four, I believe science is subservient to the Bible. We must be in either box three or four, which is in green or blue. So if I ask 1,000 people about this and force them to make a decision, they will probably fall into a normal distribution like this. About 50% in the first two boxes and 50% in the last two, generally. And the first two boxes are false people. Now, this morning, I was reminded to put this new slide onto the last page for you. Luke 22, verse 31 to 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath demanded to seek all of you like a thief. I have great energies for you, that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have returned, strengthen your brothers. The parallel passage is in Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35. We talk about all of you will fail at the arrest and the crucifixion of Jesus. And the disciples failed. But Jesus came back to restore them. Have you been wandering off track as well? Then come back to the train of Jesus. He's here and he will restore you. It's very important that you walk by it differently. Well, that is the message for today. And I want to preview what I will do next year. We will dig deep in the book of Ruth. And I'm sure at this stage, all the ladies will say, Amen, right? And all the men will say, No. To both groups, I say in a new tongue to you. So let's move from the new tongue to the last song to finish the session.